The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
When the astronauts first walked on the moon, they planted an American flag. And I've always thought that they really should have planted a flag with an image of the moon, right? They planted an American flag. And we plant flags too. We plant flags all over the place. And our flag has two letters on it. M-E. Yeah. And we plant flags to feel safe, to feel good, to have reference points. But any claimed territory entails territoriality. Yeah. And as social animals with social needs, we do a lot of flag planting. And as social animals with social needs, this can turn the world into a kind of stage. And there are many dimensions of the self that are performative. Not all dimensions of the self are a performance, but many are. And performance is tiring, right? Actors rehearse and summon energy and confront doubts and are concerned about breaking character, concerned about being found out. Stressful. So from the sociologist Goffman from almost 70 years ago said, the world is not, of course, a stage, but the crucial ways in which it isn't are not easy to specify. And goes on to say, choose your self-presentation carefully, for what starts out as a mask becomes your face. In a sense, our performances, they're an argument. Yeah, in the legal sense, they're an argument. We're making a case. We're making a case for me as valuable in some way. And that makes sense, but we want to be careful. Yeah, because we confuse a mask, an argument for ourselves. And then Buddhism takes us deeper, and it's not just the mask that's not you, but you are not your face either. This deep assumption, I am me. This moment fits into who I was, who I will be, my autobiography. It's a deep felt experience. And yet we're directed to the understanding that that clinging to a particular view of self, clinging to a particular view of self is very fertile ground for pain for ourselves and others. And many painful emotional experiences, many painful experiences, they serve to illuminate the architecture of self-view. Yeah, the structures, the edifice of self-view are illuminated by afflictive emotion, by shame, by arrogance, by self-righteousness. This illuminates the architecture of self-view. And rather than devote ourselves to endlessly making our arguments to curating ourself, we investigate. Yeah, we investigate. And maybe find that the hallmark of ego is defensiveness. Is that territoriality? We claim territory, we become territorial. And wherever there is self-identification, there can also be shame. And so we look, how does this self congeal? How do we make our arguments? And at some point in practice, we become unconvinced by our autobiography. Unconvinced by our autobiography. And all the familiar stories, the familiar milieu of me, the arrogance, the sense of unworthiness, the self-hatred, all of the stale, all too familiar tropes in our autobiography, this, we become alienated from all of it. Yeah. And it's not that we dispute the conclusions and say, no, it's other than that. We just become alienated from the whole realm of self-view and are born into something like wonder and openness. And equanimity, of course, is vital in this. It's vital in the process of developing a fluid sense of self. It's vital in the process of developing this insight into not self. Our points of identification, the arguments we make, wanting to be this, resisting that, making the case to ourselves, to others. This arises as feeling, yeah, feeling seen, feeling too seen, not feeling seen, feeling misconstrued. All of this is acutely painful. And our practice is to slowly drain the charge from every egoic definition. And so notions of self arise, yeah. The cases we want to make, they arise. They arise in formal practice. We meet them. We meet those arisings with equanimity. Yeah. To know the emptiness of our identifications is to feel them. To feel them, to feel the impact of this urge to be this, to be that, to prove this, to prove that, to decorate one's mask, to decorate one's face. Yeah. To curate the self. we greet all of these flows and urges with equanimity. And slowly begin to drain the electrical charge from them. And so the solidity of identity begins to soften, to melt. We grieve anatta. This teaching on that self, we grieve anatta before it becomes liberating. In a sense, we have to grieve the three characteristics, dukkha, anicca, anatta, before they become freeing. No one gets to become the person they think they are. There's just no place to rest, no refuge to be found, no identity that provides shelter. Sense of the heart resting on steady ground. None of this is to turn the ego into a kind of inner enemy, right? Where this practice, the theme of equanimity, is not making an enemy of any experience. And so we don't turn kind of aggression inwards or go hunting down the sense of self or something like this. The self, these egoic processes, their self is a kind of sensitivity, childlike, desperate, so desperate. And it needs love. It needs love, not aggression. And so we give love, we offer ourselves love, we receive love. And we start to be less congealed, to have less kind of less and less of an impulse to make our cases, and we're no longer guarding something that is both precious and incredibly fragile. We're no longer guarding the sense of the fragility, the inherent fragility of self that also feels at moments priceless. We're no longer safeguarding something that is totally fragile and totally precious. And this puts us at ease. This opens our heart to many forms of love. Because ownership generates anxiety. So I offer this for your consideration as we practice with this theme, equanimity, allowing life to touch us rather than to shape life. So it's good to be with you. All I have is my little webcam, but I shower it. My practice is to shower it with metta. Yeah. I wish you all well. Have a good day, and we'll return tomorrow.